You are now listening to A Word for Deliverance with Pastor Leonard Cochran. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in the city of Noonan, Georgia. For more information, please visit our website at www.apor-noonan.org. Now, let's receive God's word from Pastor Leonard Cochran to help you be productive in every aspect of life.
Don't quit. Be of good courage. And this is part three. So God has been repetitive in talking to us. Again, I love the fact that David is being transparent and admitting that he would have lost heart. That there has been a time or two in his life that what he was facing or what he was going through could have allowed him to quit unless he had believed. He uses the word lose heart. The one thing I want you to know that it means for a child of God, when a child of God loses heart, it says about him or her that they have had a change of mind. Because you don't get saved with a faint heart. I said, you don't get saved with a give up spirit. And so whenever a sister, a brother finds themselves in a place where they feel like losing heart or quitting, it says about that person again that he or she has changed their mind. And ain't nothing wrong with changing your mind, because there are times we need to change our mind. But when our mind changes, we need to make sure that it changes for the better and never for the worse. Whenever you decide or feel like giving up on God, you have changed for the worse. And understand, because your mindset not only has to do with your mental faculty, your mind also has to do with your feelings or your emotions. And so you have to be careful when you begin to feel like quitting or giving up. Because, again, feelings can be powerful. And we don't need to quit. We need to simply believe God. I said we don't need to quit. We simply need to believe God. You don't need to quit. You need to trust God. You don't need to give up. You need to believe that God is going to do it. You don't need to start talking like a defeated person. You need to believe that better is here and that better is still coming. Oh, God, I'm talking to somebody. You don't need to just assume that God is not going to do something based upon what you're seeing with your natural eye. You need to trust God and know that whatever he promised, he is God enough to do it. If he told you a thing, he's going to bring that thing to pass if you will get your mind right. I said if somebody would get their mind right, God is going to fulfill not just one or two things that he said, but he's going to do everything that he promised he would do, plus some more, because he's just that good of a God. But I got to deal with people whose mind has changed for the worse, and now you're contemplating quitting, and you're thinking about quitting at the wrong time, because your blessing is at hand. Your miracle is at hand. Your reward is at hand. Somebody shout, it ain't time to quit. Shout it like you mean it. It ain't time to quit. Whoa, shout it again. It ain't time to quit. I don't care what you're going through. It ain't time to. It ain't time to. It ain't time to. It's time to believe. Notice when a person loses heart, don't miss this. He or she becomes very depressed, a very unhappy, to the point that they feel overwhelmed, and it seems as if quitting is the only option. I'm going to say that again. To lose heart means that a person has become deeply depressed, a very sad, a very unhappy, and the depression of the sadness begins to overwhelm them to the point to where they feel like there is no alternative but to quit. Oh, God, I'm talking folk that get depressed and they begin to say things like, why go on? Why keep trying? Why should I keep believing? Why should I keep going to church? Why should I continue to believe the word? Why should I continue to give the tithe and the offering? Why should I continue to pray? And it's as if God is not hearing my prayer, or he's refusing to answer what I need him to do. And I am sad within my being, and I feel that there is no other alternative but to just give up. You have to be careful when you get to a place where you are seemingly overwhelmed by what you're going through. Y'all gonna let me teach you. You have to be careful when you feel overwhelmed about something. You have to be careful who or what you turn to for help. Because everything that looked like it's going to help you will not help you, but will actually jack your situation up worse. But you have to be careful. Oh, God, y'all don't want me to preach that. There have been some of us in time past that when we became overwhelmed about what we were going through, we turned, can I be honest, to the wrong person. Yeah, you were overwhelmed and you called on somebody, but who you called was not God. You called somebody that, if the truth be told, you had no business not only calling them, but you didn't have no business still having the information. But I don't think there is just a few folk in here that have turned to the wrong things before. I believe, really, if we just be honest, I believe there's a whole lot of us that if we just take that mask off and just get real, there has been several times that you turn to the wrong thing. You turn. Yeah. I know you calling that person and you think they gonna comfort you, but that's not the type of comforting that you need right now, because you can't be thinking about calling somebody for help that has already quit and your mind is in the position of the place where you contemplate. You calling, but you calling the wrong person. Some folk feel like they have to turn to drugs just to be able to cope with what they're going through. Could you imagine a person so severely depressed that he or she feels they need something pseudo to get their spirits up? I just need a drink. If I get me a drink, it'll make me feel better. But be honest, when you get one drink, you don't stop at one drink. You get two, three, and four drinks, and now you smoking something. And you start doing things, all because you allowed yourself to become too depressed. You got too sad. And I don't care how y'all try to get quiet on me. That comes a time where all of us battle depression. I'm just going to keep it real. I don't know if you think if you put pastor in front of your name that depression is scared of that word. But I got a news for you this morning. You need to listen to me. All of us battle depression periodically. Or there are times that all of us battle being sad about something. And I'm talking about to the point to where depression tries to bag you up, bag you into a hole. And guess what? Some folk there right now, they there this morning, severely depressed about what you're going through. And it got you turning to the wrong thing. See, I got to teach this morning. Because when you feel overwhelmed, you need a good word. I say you need a good word. When you feel overwhelmed, that ain't the time to go hear your jacked up cousin preaching who just doing and saying stuff. No, when you feel overwhelmed, you got to get in the presence of somebody that knows how to defeat an overwhelming spirit. Somebody that can preach you. Oh God, I wish I had somebody that's there this morning, but you know God is already sending you your rhema, letting you know that it's time to come out of that place. I can't use you in that place. I can't anoint you in that place. I can't bless you in that place. You gotta come out of that place. Shout to somebody. You gotta come out of that place. You're too depressed. Depressed folk don't make good decisions. They choose to do things primarily based upon their feelings, not knowing their feelings gonna change. Can I deal with it? Can I deal with it? I'm gonna deal with it anyhow. Psalm 55. I said that because some of you never did say deal with it. So I had to let you know I'm gonna deal with it anyhow. Because, see, some folk think that they can just go on to Psalm 55 when I talk to these people who think you're going to continue to be able to just dress up depression. You can't get a new dress for depression. You can't cut your hair in a different style for depression. You can't just lose weight and lose the depression. You can lose the weight, but the depression is still there because the depression was inward. You can't change spouses. Nor can you just simply change jobs. You ever seen folk that get a new look and that new look sustain them for a while? They happy about that look. They thinking that look going to do it. No, it ain't going to do it. It ain't going to do it. You have to deal with depression by getting a good word. See, the Bible say anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. But watch out, child of God. But a good word will make it glad. A good word will make your heart happy. A good word will make your heart merry more so than Jack Daniel. A good word. Come on here, somebody. I'm preaching about a good word. That's reading the enemy fight some of you from getting to the house of God. He does not want you to get that good word. Because he know if you get in here, you're going to get a word that's going to make you want to do right. Notice Psalm 55. I love this right here. Lord have mercy. I'm feeling good. Psalm 55 and verse 5. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me. And horror has overwhelmed me. This is what I want you to see. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and I'd be at rest. Ask your neighbor, have you ever battled something that made you want to fly away? I'm leaving Noonan. I'm getting out of Carrollton. I'm quitting this job. I'm flying away. Years ago, I was getting beat down so bad that I told Uncle Sam, make me be all I can be. I just want to fly away. I just want to fly. Have you ever wished you had wings and you could just escape? Come on, you know we done said, I ain't got to deal with this and just wanna go. But see, what I found is that you can change where you are geographically But you can't change where you are spiritually. Oh, come on, Pastor. If you're depressed in Georgia, you're going to be depressed on the beach at Florida. See, it's something you got. You just can't fly away. You just can't quit. See, some of us think quitting is quit not the answer. Because once you quit, 9 times out of 10, that problem's still there. And it may disguise itself and beat you down another way, but it's that same. Come on, somebody. I remember when Brother Shamar was in college. Thank God for a good mama. Because she come to me one day. She said, we need to talk to Shamar. I said, he'll be all right. You know, a good mama can feel that stuff. A good mama say, no, you need to get up and come with me. And we need to talk to Shamar. And I said, okay, mama. But don't cut me off when I get in there. So we went and talked to him. We like, what's the problem? He said, I'm quitting school. When he said it, I had an out-of-body experience. And I saw myself beaten. But then I said, no, remain calm. I said, what's going on? I said, where are you at? He said, I'm 97% done. Again, that out-of-body experience. I'm like, 97, 3 more? I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm leaving. He said, I'm going to work on the road. I said, what you going to do on the road? He said, I'm going to work construction. I had another out-of-body experience. This time I was laughing hysterically. But I knew that as a parent, I could not make him think that I felt like he couldn't do it or he'll error just trying to prove me wrong like a lot of young folk do. You can't just get up and get down the road just to say mama was wrong. You better be careful. Mama know more than you think mama know. Mama been places that mama ain't got time to share. Well, it ain't the time to share. But no, mama know what she's talking about when she says to you this, that, and the other. And so I was careful in using wisdom because I didn't want him to think I was his enemy and that he had something to prove to me. But I told him, I said, you need to believe. I said, because God had brought you this far to leave you. But see, hold on. He don't mind me. But see, we're frustrated. He was saying stuff like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to need favor from professors. I'm going to need this to happen. And then this going to have to line up. And that ain't to mention what's going on over here. But I said, that's a job for God. I said, ain't nothing you name too hard for God. I said, you simply need to get up and believe God. Get up and know God is with you. And I told him, I said, Shamar, if you'll get up right now, if you won't delay, I said, the favor you need, God gonna give it to you. I said, whatever you need, God gonna do it. He gonna be there for you. And I said, not only that, I said, even before you graduate, you gonna be lined up for your dream job. And I said, favor gonna be all on that job. Oh my God. Do you know the boy got up? Do you know he got up and made daddy proud? He got up and made mama proud. And not only graduated, but he got favor on that job. Tell your neighbor the reason you can't quit. It's because favor waiting on you. Run the 2-4 and tell them you can't quit now. Oh my God, some of you didn't even move. This gonna cause you to have to get out of that seat. Run the 3-4 and tell that person you can't give up now. Boy, I need some preachers. I need some preachers. Preach to somebody, you too close. You too close now. You at the door now. Breakthrough is here. Better is here. Your miracle is here. You about to get the house. You about to get the car. You about to get the healing. You about to get the degree. You about to get what God promised you. But you can't give up. Shout not now. Shout not now. Tell your neighbor your enemy is watching you. They want you to give up. They want you to not. Not now, not now, not now. I'm too close. I feel it. Not preach to me, Pastor. I can't quit. Be seated. Every day he coming home talking about favor. Every day he coming home talking about what door just opened, how he just got blessed. And we look back and we shout about it. See how the enemy wanted you to quit. Why am I saying that? Because when you feel overwhelmed, you got to get around the right people. Pastor ain't the only one can preach to you, but you got to get yourself around the right people. Somebody that'll speak life into you. Can I be honest? Too many of our young people quit. They cannot identify with the struggles of the old, nor do they want to. If it doesn't come easy, they don't want it. But the old folk used to say, anything worth having is worth fighting for. You got to ask yourself sometimes, how bad do you want it? You ask God for it, but how bad do you? See, sometimes when you ask God for something, he'll ask you, how bad do you want it? Do you want it bad enough to separate from no good friend? Do you want it bad enough to come to church and be faithful? Do you want it bad enough to get out of a dead congregation and get in a live church? How bad do you? He wanted it bad enough to listen. Because me and his mama had been down that road and we knew that the solution was to believe. Was to believe. Notice the psalmist said he wished or desired to have wings that he could fly away. But that's not the answer. When you feel overwhelmed, you have to learn to cast your cares upon or upon God. Tell your neighbor, don't you know how much God loves you? Now somebody's going to say, yeah, I do. Well, why you ain't casting them cares on him? Why you ain't giving that to him? Why are you not praying about that? Why are you not speaking the word in reference to that? Look at Psalm 142. Notice Psalm 142. Notice. Look at Psalm 142. Oh, good God Almighty. Look at Psalm 142 and 3. I pour out my complaint before him or before God. Psalm 142 and 2. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path. See, we got to learn in the midst of feeling overwhelmed, there is always somebody to talk to. And let me tell you how good God is. God is so good that he really understands when we also need somebody to speak to in the physical realm. How many believe that? How many believe there are times that God knows that yeah, we're talking to him, but he understands that we need someone in the earth realm that can be, a strength to us, that can empower us. Come on here, somebody. Notice back in Psalm 27, when he began to be to the point to where he was almost about to lose heart, he says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. I gotta believe. I said, I gotta believe. But now notice that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then he said something. He said, wait on the Lord. That's the problem. Uh-oh. That's the problem with a lot of people. When they're feeling overwhelmed in reference to hate, waiting, some folk get tired of waiting. Feeling overwhelmed and I'm tired of waiting. Can I add a word that some of y'all like to use? I'm sick and tired of waiting. When you get sick and tired of waiting, there's certain messages that I preach, they'll get on your nerves. They'll rattle you. You won't be up shouting and talking about, preach it, pal, deal with it, pal. You'll be sitting like, I'm tired of if I hear one more person say, better here, better coming, I'm going to nut up in the sanctuary. I'm going to lose it. If they testify another Sunday straight, I'm going to skip two until they stop. I'm tired of hearing them folk. See, when you get sick and tired of waiting, well, you are easily irritated. Folk get on your nerve that ain't got nothing to do with what you waiting on. And you snapping on folk. Putting folks in their place. And folk that don't know you wonder, what's wrong with you? But those of us that know you, we know what your problem is. You tired of waiting. You want a good testimony, but you tired of waiting. Now, there are those that hate waiting. God, do it now. Because you know I hate waiting. You better tell somebody, God know you. Better than you know yourself. Oh, all of you just look right at me. Don't look at your Bible. I ain't preaching nothing out the Bible. I ain't reading nothing out the Bible right now. Look right at your pastor. Guess what he also know about some of you? You hate waiting. Which lead me to the third and final thing, which means you don't understand waiting. You are never sitting somewhere watching your watch thinking God is late. No, you done bumped your head. You done fell off the back of a donut truck. If you think that God, you say, I ain't never heard that. Well, I got your attention now, so listen. When you sit up and think that God just running a little behind in making it happen, but I just need to be patient. Let me tell you something. You don't know nothing about God. God can't be late. We shout about that. Tell me that's something to shout about. But it's something else to shout about too. Tell me he can't be early either. Get here, Lord. Who you think you're talking to? You think God, Santa Claus? See, when you don't understand waiting, you get frustrated with God himself. Can I be honest? There have been times I done told God, why don't you just do it? Oh, you got to do it. We don't need but $354.19 a pay. That's all it is. I mean, like, God, it ain't hard. It's a money problem. See, get frustrated with it. Now, here's my thing. When you get frustrated with God, where do you go? See, this morning you're going to understand waiting. Waiting is a place of expectation whereby you remain there. Oh, this is good. Until he do it. You don't move until. You don't go nowhere until. David said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the Lord. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait, I say. What does he know about God that he's so insistent that we wait, that we remain in a place of expectation? David knows he can't fail. He can't fail. In my close, and I'm going to be done. I preached about this and mentioned this in the series. Now I want to take you to this scripture, and I want to close there. In the book of Luke, the second chapter, I want to show you how to remain in a place of expectation. And I also want to give you your rhema in reference to your expectation. Okay, so go to Luke 2. And we finna be done. Go to Luke 2. Oh yeah. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 2. See, can y'all catch this? Luke 2 and 25. This scripture gonna blow your mind. You gotta get there. And Luke 2 and 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was just and devout. Watch that next word, waiting. Somebody shout waiting. Waiting for the consolation of Israel, or waiting for the king, waiting for the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Watch. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Watch this. That he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Holy Spirit told Simeon, you ain't going to die until you see the Messiah. You ain't going to die until you see Jesus. Imagine death showing up and Simeon saying, wait, I ain't seen Jesus. The promise ain't come to pass. I can't leave. I haven't saw the Messiah. When you know God's word is sure, in your mouth is power to pause things. Get back. Watch this. It had been revealed. Somebody shout revealed. See, that's when you got to be able to come to church, receive revelation. I don't care what you're going through. Learn to receive revelation. Revelation bigger than what you're going through. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came. Look how the Lord working. By the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, bless God and say, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Tell somebody, hallelujah. Tell David, here come your rhema. Shout to somebody, here come your rhema. Shout to somebody, here come your rhema. Tell your neighbor, when you learn how to wait, God won't only do what you ask or what you think. Tell your neighbor, when you learn how to wait, he'll do exceedingly, abundantly. Tell your neighbor, when you learn how to wait, you're going to get an Ephesians 3:20. See, that's somebody, Rhema. Your waiting ain't in vain. God gonna do more. Listen, I don't even want to preach it. He gonna do more than what you asked. He gonna do more than what you was even thinking because of how you learn to wait or expect. Pastor, where you see that in the text? I see it in the text because what was promised to Simeon, what Simeon was thinking, I can't die until I see him. Until I see him. Watch that revelation. Until I see him. So Simeon thinking, I got to see him before I die. But God was so impressed with his waiting that God showed up and said, not only are you going to see him, but I'm going to let you hold him. I'm going to do more. I'm done.